episode 698, My Strength is My Story with Angela D., Voiceless.
Moms, needing a little inspiration and a ray of hope? You've come to the right place. This is the show that you can turn to for just the pick-me-up you need. This is Create Your Now, Your Best Selfie. Here's your host, certified life coach, personal trainer, and nutritionist, Christiane Wargo. Staring at a
stop sign, watching. Happy, happy day, ladies. I am so excited that you are here. Today's series, My Strength is My Story, is highlighting and shining a light on Angela D. She has written her story, Spencer's story, Voiceless, in her brand new book, A Mother's Journey Raising a Son with Significant Needs. This book is heart-wrenching and hope-fulfilling. But before we go into any more of those details, I first want to give a huge shout-out to all of our brand new family members. Welcome to this incredible family. I am so delighted that you are here. If you haven't already had the opportunity, head on over to createyournow.com where you can learn more and sign up for the Kisses newsletter, the Keep It Simple Strategy Everyday Solutions to Finding Your Simple in Your Everyday. Angela D. did not live a very simplistic life. She did think at one point in her life that it was truly, all of her dreams now were a reality. But then that was just a calm before the storm. Because then the eye of the hurricane hit. That's something that you've got to listen to. You got to hear it from her mouth. Hear it in her voice. A mother's voice of how she tells the story of her son, Spencer. Voiceless. And if you're wanting to get in touch with her, all this information is going to be in the show notes that you hear us talking about. But you can go on into the show notes, or you can also go right to angeladee.life. That's A-N-G-E-L-A-D, as in dog, E-E.life. And there you can get in touch with her. She shares her heart. She is an incredible, impactful woman. And I promise you that you will be blessed today. Also, I wanted to let you know that the music that you will hear was written specifically for Spencer and his caretaker, Nicole. They were featured on the Today Show when Nicole wrote in and told of Spencer's story. Please enjoy it as you listen. And also, the link to the Today Show is in the show notes. So let's listen in on our coffee chat with Angela D., Voiceless, A Mother's Journey Raising a Son with Significant Needs.
In the eyes of the world, there are people who seem to have all that the good life can give. They're happy and healthy, can afford any dream. They really know how to live. But then there are those who have none of these things, who struggle each day to survive, facing the challenges each moment brings, and we wonder, why are they alive?
Welcome. I am so excited and delighted to introduce to you today Angela D., author of Voiceless, A Mother's Journey Raising a Son with Significant Needs. I have had the privilege and honor of reading this book, and it is truly incredible. And this woman is a mother of three children, and she has done extraordinary work within her own life. And so I'm so delighted to have her here in the series, My Strength is My Story. Angela, welcome to Create Your Now.
Thank you so much. I'm so happy to be here.
Oh, we are so excited to have you.
Oh, thank you.
Well, tell us a little bit about yourself so we can kind of warm up to you a little bit.
Well, I am a Colorado native, pretty much. I've lived here for 42 years, and I love the outdoors. So I do a lot of skiing and hiking. And first and foremost, my family is my greatest gift. So I spend a lot of time with them. I do have three children. My oldest son is 24. My middle son is 22. And my daughter is 19. So they're all young adults right now, finding their own way. But I was a stay-at-home mother for 20 years with my son, who is special needs. I was about to go back to work when he was six and my daughter was three. I'm a teacher by trade. And so that is when he got sick. And so then I ended up staying home for a few more years than I expected.
Wow. Oh, my goodness. Well, take us back before the eye of the hurricane, as you wrote in your book.
Okay, so let's go back to February of 2000. It was our last family vacation. We were in Mazatlan, and the four loves of my life were just dancing before me. The sun was setting, and their silhouettes were just radiating, and I was just sitting there on the beach going, you know what? My life is complete. My dream is a reality. I always wanted to be a mother and a wife. And that was the calm before the storm. That was about 2 months before the hurricane hit, as I would say. And then June of 2000 is when Spencer just started having some flu-like symptoms. He was six at the time, as I said. And within a matter of 2 weeks, he went from a normal, active six-year-old boy to a severely disabled child. Oh. So it was devastating. Mm-hmm. And, 2 months later, we brought him home from Children's Hospital and just decided, you know what, whatever we have, we're going to love this child no matter what, unconditionally, and move forward. And with God's guidance, we will make it through.
So, oh.
That's kind of what the book's about, raising a severe needs child as well as two normal children. So. Mm-hmm.
Take us back to that time when you said he had flu-like symptoms. And I remember reading in the book, and I'm telling you right now, you all have to pick up a copy of this book. You will want to read it. The details in here are extraordinary, and it will give you hope. So whether or not you have a special needs child, I want to encourage you to go out and get this book. But Angela, take us back to the time when you took him and rushed him into the emergency room. If I remember correctly, you're with your mom and dad at the time you were traveling. Is that correct?
Yes. So we had just built our dream home on some acreage out in our little town, and we had a family wedding to go to. And so my husband stayed home to work. We had, spent a lot of time getting this house ready. So he needed to stay home. We left for Kansas to this wedding, and he just started exhibiting some, like I said, flu-like symptoms. On the way home, we were staying at a hotel, and I promised the kids we would go to the pool. And so we were in the pool, and all of a sudden I looked over, and Spencer was standing chest deep in the hot tub water with my father. And my dad had said, something is really wrong with Spencer. And so I have a special ed degree. That was my second major. And so wow. I knew he was having a grand mal seizure. So I went and I grabbed him out of the hot tub and, got him into the hotel room, called 911. They rushed him to the hospital in Colby, Kansas, and did a full workup. And for about 2 weeks, they kept sending us home from the hospital with the diagnosis of epilepsy because they were not finding anything in his spinal fluid. They weren't finding anything in his MRIs, EEGs, just said that he was having abnormal brain activity, which was indicative of seizures. Mm-hmm. But there was just nothing that was coming up. And so they just told us he was developing epilepsy until he could no longer speak. And he was dragging his foot as if he had had a stroke, and he was just declining neurologically every single day for 2 weeks. And so finally, it was actually on our 10-year wedding anniversary when we finally took him back for the last time and demanded a different diagnosis. And at that time, actually, we didn't have to demand it because his behavior, he had a 13-minute seizure in the ER, and that is what got all of the neurologists and doctors' attention, and they realized, this is something greater than epilepsy. So that's kind of where it all began.
How did you hang on during this time? I mean, you had a functioning, quote unquote, normal child, just healthy and vivacious and loving life. And all of a sudden now, you had, as I think you wrote in your book, that you walked into the emergency room the first time with a quote unquote normal child, but you walked out carrying a 40-pound infant.
Right. Oh gosh. It was devastating. I remember at one time, in the process, we were about 10 days in, and you kind of want to remain in denial that things are getting so bad because your heart and your mind kind of has to catch up with it all. And so, yeah. My husband had a disabled brother that he grew up with. And so this was kind of like his worst nightmare happening. Mm. And so he remained in denial a little bit longer than I did. So about 10 days in, I called a good friend from high school and I said, can you just come over and help me take care of the kids? I really need help. And it was that day when she said, Angie, something's really wrong with him. You have to get him back to the hospital. Mm. And then at that point, I called my parents and they said the same. But through it all, I was crying out to God. I was just asking for help because I, even though I had a special ed degree, it was not with severe needs children. I was in no way prepared for what lay ahead. So, I did a lot of praying. Mm-hmm. I did a lot of breathing. I just, did a lot of research on the internet to try to guide me where we were headed. Did a lot of asking questions to the medical community and the mm-hmm. doctors. They didn't like me very much because I just kept asking questions until I got answers. And so
good for you.
When there are no answers though, it gets very frustrating yes. for them and you. And so, after a while, I think they liked talking to my husband because he had worked in the medical field. So he mm-hmm. could be very calm and direct and medical in his terminology, whereas mm-hmm. I was just this emotional mother, you know, kind of on running on adrenaline and emotions. So, mm-hmm. But it was a very difficult time for us, for sure.
Oh, for sure. And devastating. Oh, I mean, I truly cannot imagine what you went through and what you're still going through in raising Spencer and caring for him. What was one of the things that you would consider your rock during all of this time?
Well, honestly, for 3 years, when we brought him home from the hospital, the doctor said, what you have brain capacity wise in a year is what you'll have for the rest of his life. And so we kind of had 365 days to chase cures and alternative forms of medicine. And so we actually spent 3 years doing that. We went to several places. We went to a World Neurology Conference in Norway, mm-hmm. Utah, Florida, Texas. And at about 3 years, I was running from God. I never fully ran from God, but I was just angry and, didn't understand what was going on. And, so after 3 years, I said, you know what, Lord, I've done everything I know to do humanly possible, and I'm exhausted. And so at that point, there was a night I was up in my office and it was Spencer's old bedroom. I was laying on my floor crying and I'm like, my child can no longer climb the stairs to sleep next to his big brother, you know, and here I am. And this is where I'm supposed to write my book because you told me to, you know. So that night was kind of a turning point because I was struggling between kind of yelling at this unseen enemy that was trying to take our family down and praying to this God that I was still kind of angry with and didn't quite understand, but I knew that I had to turn back to God because he was going to be the one to get me to this place. And I knew that I needed to write the book. There was a time in the hospital when Spencer was, we weren't sure whether he was going to make it or not. And I remember being on my knees in the parking garage at Children's Hospital, just going, Lord, what do I do? This is way over my head. And it was at that moment when I felt I got the first message to tell Spencer's story. Mm. And so I started documenting everything at that time and just kind of keeping everything tucked away in little boxes and, you know, here or there and until the time when I could actually sit down and write about it. So,
well, tell us a little bit about Spencer prior to his episode when he was 6 years old, so we can understand and learn a little bit about him.
Spencer was very athletic. He always told me he wanted to be the next Michael Jordan. He loved basketball. He loved all sports. So, you know, he loved his trading cards. He spent his time in his Spider-Man jammies and his Avalanche jerseys or Bronco jerseys. And he was just very active. He was also a fighter. I mean, he just, he would never tell me when he was sick. He was a strep carrier every year. And, a lot of times I would just look at him and I would see his swollen glands. And I'd say, Spence, are you feeling okay? And he's like, yeah, yeah. Because he didn't want to miss out on anything. So when he was sick, he would get kind of extra ornery. And that's kind of how I, you know, he'd get sassy or whatever. And that's how I would know that he was not feeling well. But he was also had the soft side of him where he just had a very, as I mentioned in the book, he had this relationship with God that went kind of beyond anything I had taught him or anything he had learned at church. He just had these moments where he would astound me with some of the things he would do or say about God. He was just a very well-rounded little boy. He also had a shy side to him. He was shy until he got to know you. And that was kind of his personality.
Adorable. I just want to sweep him up and hold him so tight. And then to think that you had to go through what you went through of losing him as in being able to function as you knew him to now functioning. And as you wrote and titled the book, Voiceless. And I'm telling you, you all, you are going to want to pick up this book. We will, you know, check in the show notes. We will have the link there for you. This is an incredible book. This is not just for anybody who has a significant needs child or a special needs child with disabilities. This is for anyone. This is a woman who truly knows and has walked a path that she never thought she would. And Angela, I'm just so appreciative of you taking the time. Where did the title of this come from, Voiceless?
You know, I struggled with the title. Spencer does have a voice. He can whine, he can cry, he can laugh. He can't speak, but we know through various, noises or whatever that he has emotions. There's a lot more in there than what we know. It's almost like a stroke victim. He's still got that kind of ornery spirit about him when he laughs at very inappropriate times. I guess it came from just because he can't talk and tell us his feelings. It came from that. But I always say, you know, if you read the book, you'll fall in love with a voiceless boy who speaks volumes about never, never giving up because he just has that warrior spirit where he pushes through. He pushes through everything. I mean, yesterday I was just holding his head at the dentist and he did phenomenal and he hates his mouth touched or anything around his face. He's just very sensitive there. And that's always a fun time. I know we don't like the dentist, most of us, but he really doesn't like the dentist. But he's just so patient and it's so interesting how he, even though he can't tell you, you can know within minutes if he is really into somebody or not when they walk into the room. He has that kind of sixth sense about him where he can feel people's energy or, you know, what they're, I don't even want to say what they're thinking, but just, yeah. So, I don't know if that answers your question, but I really just didn't know what to call the book. And I did have some people say, well, it's not really voiceless. And I said, you're right. But I thought it was a catchy title and it would get people's attention.
Well, it definitely does get your attention because in reading the book, and like I said, y'all need to pick this book up. I'm just saying because I'm going to keep reminding you. But when you read the book and you understand, you get the backstory and then you get the you know, how you went through the trials and the challenges and the troubles and the struggles and trying to figure out what was going on with him. I mean, this was a talkative, amazing young little boy that just had the energy to conquer the world. I mean, you said it yourself, Angela, he had a warrior spirit. And that wasn't something that came after the situation. That was something that was born within him from the very beginning. And so Voiceless, now, like you said, maybe he can't speak the words and verbalize as you and I are doing right now. But he still can speak just in a different way, a very unique way. But I love the title. And I do think personally, not that it matters, I think it matches perfectly with the book.
Good. Yes, he speaks a lot through his eyes. I mean, that's where you communicate. That's where I communicate the most with Spencer. So if you are quiet and still enough to really hear what he's saying through his eyes, he speaks volumes through his eyes. So.
Wow. Wow. Well, how did this affect, so, you know, it was normal life before all of this chaos happened. And you have two other children, beautiful children. How did this affect the family dynamic?
Wow. Well, of course, it was very difficult on my oldest son. They were best friends, 2 years apart. And
Spencer was younger, correct?
Yeah. So okay. My oldest son was 8 at the time, and Spencer was 6. And then my youngest was 3 when this all happened. Mm-hmm. And so Evan is still dealing with some of the repercussions of just the grief of really losing your best friend. Mm-hmm. Ellie, on the other hand, she didn't really know Spencer any different. She doesn't really remember him when he was normal. And so she embraced it wholeheartedly. She was my little nurse. She was always my little helper. When we had therapy people coming to the door or whoever was coming to the door to help, she would greet them. And I always say my kids have are better able to communicate with adults than they are kind of their peers, just because our house was always full of people helping and mm-hmm. community was amazing. But overall, of course, they both got counseling, and we did a lot of family meetings where we would talk about certain issues that would come mm-hmm. up on a week-to-week basis. I just tried to include them a lot and teach them as we went along, because mm-hmm. I was learning everything as we went along. And we had a magnificent person who helped us, Nicole, for 9 years. She came to us. She was one of our therapy people. She was not a nurse either, but she came to us and she said, I would like to help your family if you are wanting that. And at the time I was so burnt out already. And so she came in, she helped us for 9 years. She was part of our family. She actually wrote into the Today Show with her story in 2010. And we were featured on the Today Show with Spencer. That was quite a trip. And they, so they had something similar to you. It's called Everyone Has a Story. And so she sent her story in about how Spencer, encouraged her to run the Chicago Marathon. And so they featured her story on the Today Show, and that was very, we had a great time. We just worked with it, because Nicole was there. We made a point to have, you know, weekly dates, my husband and I would take my kids on dates. About every 3 months, we would have our date day, and where it was just them and us. Mm-hmm. And then having Nicole, we could also have individual time with the other two, because she was there, you know, caring for Spencer a lot of the time. So then we, you know, made time for their sports and their other activities that they did. But most of all, I think it taught us that life can change in an instant, and you just need to live every day to the fullest. And so we all just embarked on these passions and dreams that we had in our hearts. And so Evan got into dirt biking, Ellie got into horses, my husband decided he wanted to become a private pilot, I decided I wanted to take a dance class. So it's helped us really just embrace life and really live it to the fullest. You just never know.
Yeah, you do. You do. You just never know in an instance. So that's more with the children. How did it affect your marriage?
The marriage eventually did end. Mm. We divorced in 2012, which is not something I wanted. We spent probably 10 years in counseling. As I said, we did a lot of things to enrich our marriage. And I don't like to blame Spencer, but the circumstance of having a crisis kind of oriented day to day takes a toll on our relationship. As you all know, having normal children is stressful. Mm-hmm. But it's just very difficult upholding a marriage relationship with a situation like ours. And so it did end ultimately, but we worked so hard. In fact, our last counseling session, our counselor said, guys, I've counseled for 20 years and I have never seen a couple work harder on their marriage than you guys did. So in no way, you know, that made me feel better at the time. But that was another struggle, obviously. Mm-hmm. Our kids had to go through, and we had to go through and get through. We're all in a better place now, and we've all learned from that as well. So my former spouse actually is remarried, and he lives most of the time in Costa Rica. Mm. Both my kids are in this same general area as me. My daughter's in college, and my son's just embarking in the real world of work. it's definitely been a challenge, but I honestly think too that the divorce surprised a lot of people because they were always like, you guys are such an awesome team. And we were a great team for Spencer, for the other kids, you know, they even say that. So if that's why God put us together, as I said, my husband had a special needs brother growing up. And so he had that experience. Mm-hmm. And I had the special ed degree. And I can see how God also put other experiences in my life that kind of led me up to the point when Spencer got sick. So,
God is good.
That is good.
Even in all the struggles, I mean, because I didn't know the part, I don't know if I missed that in the book, that you had special needs was part of your teaching degree. And so to have that too, I mean, not that you ever want this to happen, but like you were saying, I mean, just all these little pieces of the puzzle gave you all this, I mean, kind of miraculous strength that only God could give and only He could orchestrate for the, you know, putting you and the family together perfectly to give and honor Spencer the way you do. Incredible.
Yeah. Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
Incredible. Oh my goodness. So how has this whole, you know, going through it, let's look at just when you were going through this, how did the experience looking at you as a woman, how did it change and affect you?
Oh my goodness. That's a whole other book.
And this is just the first book, right?
Yeah. And that's kind of where I want to take this. I thought the second book, and I even write in there that it was going to be about how Spencer's changed other people's lives and their stories, which people have written into me and have told me, some doctors, some nurses, therapy people. So I thought that would be the second book. But now what I'm finding when you are a full-time caregiver, you put everything you have into that a lot of times, and you kind of lose yourself. And so a lot of what I did was, after about 3 years of caring for Spencer, I had to go and look at some self-care things that I needed to do for myself to maintain my own health so that I could take care of my family. And so that's what I'm kind of looking for in maybe possibly a second book, I don't know, or a third, but how to adequately take care of yourself physically, emotionally, spiritually, when you're in a situation like this. And it's not just special needs kids. You know, there's a lot of people who have had traumatic brain injury coming home from the war or just in general. There's a lot of people doing full-time caretaking. And so you have to take care of yourself in order to continue, if that's something that you have to continue to do. So there's so much information packed behind that. But I did so many alternative forms of therapies and medicines for myself just to get my own health back, you know, to get my adrenal glands back to where they needed to be, and get my nutrition back to where it needed to be, and, you know, the exercise programs to get to eliminate stress, you know, and just get your mind off of things for a while. My neighbor would just pull me on the back of a horse and say, let's go riding, you know, or my daughter. So, taking a look at who you are and what you need outside of that realm of what's taking so much of your energy and your time, and diving into that a little bit, and also your relationship with your creator. And I'm not sure where I'd be without that, honestly. Mm-hmm. I don't know. You know, the way I look at that is my relationship. Of course, I love the word, and I love God comes through so many different sources. But my main thing is I have to have conversation with God to figure out where I'm going, what I've done, and where I'm headed. So to take time for that as well is very important.
That's beautiful. Well, I'd have to put a plug in here then and invite you that when your next book comes out, I'm extending an invitation right now where you can come back on and share that piece of the puzzle with us also. We would love to have you back.
I would love to. Thank you so much.
Oh, well, as you know, I mean, going through this, moms especially, we put ourselves on the back burner all the time. And what would be one thing, if there was a mom listening right now, whether she's single or married or divorced, wherever she is in her situation, and she's struggling, what's one thing that you would tell her to start doing, like the first step?
First of all, I feel like you have to go back to what you're struggling with and the root of why you feel like you're struggling. With Spencer, there was so much that I was asking God about the why, and that took me back even to my childhood. Some of the things that I struggled with and was still struggling with as an adult. So for me, journaling has been my lifesaver. To get emotions and thoughts just down on paper, a lot of times I realized that I didn't even know what I was feeling until I wrote it out. It's a safe place. Nobody has to read it. It just kind of helps you process it all. And, instead of constantly venting to somebody or complaining, I went through that too. And when you see people pulling back from you, when you're normally a very joy-filled person and very kind of extroverted, and then you see people pulling back, at that point I thought, you know what? I need to get out of this victim mode and figure out how to become a victor in this situation. And believe me, it did not happen overnight. It took a long process, but a lot of that was through praying and journaling and figuring out where those thoughts and feelings were coming from, and then addressing those. So, and again, counseling. A counselor helped me with that.
Well, that's beautiful.
I would say you're not alone. That was probably one of my biggest frustrations is I was trying to get online and find a story like mine. I just wanted to talk to a woman who had been through the same thing, who was going through the same thing day after day, and say, what do I do here? What do I do in this situation? You know, and I finally found a pen pal after about a year, and we are still in touch. Her daughter was about 3 years behind, with her encephalitis story. But so it was interesting. It was nice to talk to somebody that had a similar story, so we could compare notes and figure out what we've done, what we still could do, and just to have somebody that understood what you were going through. So no, you're not alone, and there are people out there that have your story. Be open and honest and just real. Don't be afraid to share your story, because there are people there that also want to help you to get through it. So
Yeah. And that's one thing I took away from your book. And definitely you all want to pick this up. The link is in the show notes. So be sure to pick it up because there's no way we have enough time to cover all of it. And you're going to want to read the book. I'm telling you right now, you'll need your tissue though. I got my tissue handy because it truly is. It's a beautiful story. It's heart-wrenching, but it's beautiful. And in this, that's one thing that I gleaned from your book, Angela, was that you never really totally gave up hope, and you were never afraid to ask for help. And as a woman, we not only put ourselves on the back burner, but we're also afraid to say, help me, I need help. We think we have to be the Wonder Woman and the Superwoman of all. Address that for just a moment.
Okay. Well, this takes me back to a story when I was a teacher. I had a principal who once told me, she said, Angela, you're afraid to ask for help, aren't you? And I said, well, I've never really thought of that before, but maybe I am. And this happened after one of my first graders got her finger slammed in the door coming in from recess and had to have surgery on her. It was her ring finger on her left hand. I was mortified. I was like, oh my gosh, how did this happen? So anyway, she, you know, the principal was talking to me about that. And so that has stuck with me. And so when I was in the midst of all this and I was afraid to ask for help, I think that was my mom who came to me and said, you know what, you need help. You need to be able to ask for help. And so I did. And we've got a huge portion of our therapy people from church, but also the community just embraced us and came around us and did some amazing things. And there was a day when I, about 2 years in, I threw my hands up in the air and I said, God, how am I going to help all these people who have helped us? And I just kind of heard this message in my spirit that you may not help these people, but you can pay it forward.
Amen.
People. And so there will be people in your path that you can help, and it will all come around. So that's kind of my belief is just pay it forward, you know. And we still have people helping us. So it's just amazing, family, community, how they come around you. And it may not be the people you expect that are going to come around you, but it's the support was just awesome. I can't say enough about that.
Wow. Oh, that's gorgeous. It gives me goosebumps just thinking about it. And so let's fast forward now. We've gone back in time. We kind of stood mid-time. Now let's fast forward and to where you are now in your life.
Okay. So in fall of 2015, my daughter went off to college. In 2014, Spencer moved into his adult home, we call it, which is something I never thought would happen either. That's in the book. And so these 44 short chapters that I had written over the years were sitting there in a box, and I'm thinking, all right, I have no more excuses. So that's when I found Author Academy Elite, which is a program through Carrie Oberbrunner, and I started the 52-week process of getting this book finished. So the first 6 months was a little slow. The last 6 months has been crazy getting it done because our annual conference is in October, and he has you get up on stage and speak and just kind of do a photo session and a signing, book signing. So that was my goal, was to get it done by October. But in March, when I was thinking, I don't know if I'm going to get this done, I had 120,000 words that needed to be edited down to about 65.
Oh, my gosh.
But I was coming home from my aunt's funeral, and she had Spencer in her eulogy. And she was such a prayer warrior for him for so many years. And I just remember coming home, sitting in the car with my aging parents going, you know what? I really just wanted Aunt Rosie to read that book. And now she's not going to be able to. And so that really just kind of prompted me to really push and get it done these last few months. And then I actually started dating a man 2 years ago who we went to high school together. And he walked into my garage sale. And so fast forward 2.5 years, and he just proposed to me at my book launch last week.
Yay! So, congratulations!
Yeah, so we're looking forward to, we're looking at spring of 2018 date. So that's kind of where I'm at right now. I'm working really hard marketing the book and just working on some material for a second book. Mm-hmm. But I just released this one in September 22nd. So it's real new and fresh, and I'm just kind of writing that out right now. So
new and fresh, and it's awesome. You have to pick this up. I'm just telling you, you won't be sorry. A little background real quick, Angela, this touched me more than anything because I actually have on both sides of my family, I have two special needs relatives. And so it was very interesting, knowing them as a close relative and seeing them grow up, because one is my nephew and one is a cousin of mine. And so watching them grow is different than actually hearing your story and kind of feeling like you took me as a participant into your story. And there were some things in there I thought, gosh, if I only would have known that maybe this was happening in their life, maybe I could have helped, even though we live states and states away. It truly gave voice to the voiceless and totally reached out to me personally. So I want to thank you for taking the time and the effort that you put into this in sharing Spencer's story with not only me, but everyone around the world. I'm so grateful for that.
Thank you. You're so very welcome. And thank you for this opportunity. I appreciate it.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Well, of course, I've already invited you back. So get on that second book, girl.
Okay.
Because we definitely want to know what's in book two. Well, before we close it out, I want to ask you, do you have a favorite quote or a Bible verse that you want to share with us?
Yeah, so Hebrews 11, it has always been our kind of family verse. And faith is being sure of what you hope for and certain of what you cannot see. You know, of course, so many years we were praying for healing for Spencer. And there's just, you don't know what God's plan is. And you just have to have faith that He knows better than you. And His timing is not our timing. And so that scripture just really stuck with me. Just keep the faith no matter what. And I'll refresh tired bodies and restore tired souls. Of course, I meditated on that one a lot in the whole process of caring for him. So there's a lot of scriptures, but a lot of healing scriptures. But yeah, Hebrews 11 is definitely our family one. So.
Beautiful. Well, as you know, this series is labeled My Strength is My Story. And through your story, what is one strength that you have gleaned from this up to this point within your journey?
I have gotten rid of a lot of fear. Mm-hmm. I just, you know, there's just certain things that I don't worry about anymore. There's no reason to. I have become a lot more adventurous and love travel. My kids have been the same way. They my daughter and I just went skydiving this summer. That was something she wanted to do with her mom. So yeah. So we jumped out of a plane together. But yeah,
I'm glad you're here with us today. I'm just saying.
it's just given us just a whole new perspective on life. And, you know, you only live once, and you really just have to dig deep within those passions that are in your heart and really just go after them, you know, figure out how you're going to make it happen. So.
Oh, what a beautiful way to end our time together. Oh, Angela, I am just so delighted that you took time out of your crazy schedule, your dedication to your family, to come and spend some time with us. Before we close it out, how can people find you?
Well, the book is on Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com. You can also reach me at authorangeladee@gmail.com. And then my website is angeladee.life, L-I-F-E. And it's spelled D-E-E, Angela D-E-E. So those are the ways you can get in contact with me now.
And we'll be sure to have all of that in the show notes. So if you're driving, if you're working out, do not stop. Do not, you know, break or have an accident or anything. We will have all that information located there for you in the show notes. So you can refer to that, because I know you're going to want to pick up this incredible book. It's not only going to bring joy to your heart, tears of just of gratitude even. And, you know, maybe even if you don't think this book is for you, I would say pick it up as a gift. Sometimes it's hard to talk about situations like this and special needs. I mean, Angela, would you agree with me? Special needs is something that people feel like kind of like taboo. We don't know how to talk about, like, even the big C word, let alone special needs. We have a hard time.
Yeah, and I was one of those people. I remember a little boy in a wheelchair at church, and I never knew how to approach them. I always wanted to, but I didn't know what to say, how to approach them. So what I found is people are just fearful of what they don't know, or, you know, it's a book that definitely needed to be written, and I was just being obedient. But I think it will help you understand from a mother's perspective, just kind of some of the things we have to go through on a day-to-day basis, and hopefully will help people know how they can be helpful in some of those situations.
Definitely. And it opens up the door of conversation. I know sometimes that's hard. How do you even strike up a conversation? Or you know you want to talk about it, but you don't know. And maybe a gift to someone who is struggling. Maybe there's a woman out there. Maybe you're listening right now and you're like, oh my gosh, I'm pregnant. And I just found out that I won't, quote unquote, have a normal, healthy child. My child is going to be special needs. What can I do? Pick this book up. It is full of hope, and I promise you it will bless you. And definitely, I know Angela's heart. Reach out to her. I know she's there for you. She's an extraordinary woman. And Angela, thank you again from the bottom of my heart for spending this time with us and sharing a little bit of Spencer's story. And if you want to find out the rest, be sure to, you know, click on the show notes and pick up this book today. Thank you so much, Angela.
Thank you, Christiane.
Thank you. Blessings. Bye-bye.
Oh, thank you. Bye-bye.
Feeling inspired, ready to train for life, and love your journey? Visit createyournow.com for more incredible resources to help you along the way. We'll see you next time on Create Your Now, Your Best Selfie. And remember, always be sure you consult your physician before beginning any health and fitness plan.